Hi, I'm John Gomez. Welcome to Trial Files, where real personal injury survivors talk to their real personal injury lawyers. I'm the president and founder of Gomez Trial Attorneys, and I came up with this podcast to help people that have been through difficult times understand that process better, and also to allow lawyers that represent people that have suffered harm to understand that journey better. This podcast will feature people that have suffered injury or harm through no fault of their own, have reached out to us here at Gomez Trial Attorneys, and have completed that journey. And so we'll talk to people about their story, about what happened to them, how they came to find us, what the process was like, and what the result was. The idea is that people that are out there in similar situations can learn and be inspired and understand how this process works. I also hope it's just interesting. These are great stories. And so let's get started. Let's get to our very first episode and start talking real trial files. And today, I'm super excited to welcome as our guests, Lisa Marie Dougherty, and the lawyer that handled her case from our firm, Patrick Storm Swan. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So great to have you here. Welcome, Patrick.
Good to be here.
And I will say that sitting to Lisa's right is her daughter, Michaela, who decided to join us today, who has been described to me as an advocate for women's rights. And as you'll hear, this case has something to do with the rights of women to be able to work with dignity in the workplace. So it's nice to have you here, too. We don't have a mic on her, but she did say thank you. And so, as you know, as part of what we do here, first we talk a little bit about, you know, sort of what was happening in the life of you in this case, Lisa Marie, you know, kind of what caused you to think maybe you needed a lawyer. And then we talk about your experience with the lawyer, and then we talk a little bit about how things ended up. So, Lisa, as I understand it, you work, are you a driver?
I am. I'm a school bus driver.
Okay. And so was there something going on at work that wasn't quite right or was causing you some harm?
Yes. I was going through, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was a very difficult time. It was extremely hard. And then my employer, my supervisor, said some really inappropriate things to me. And it was extremely distressing to me while I was going through my illness.
I'm sorry to hear that. And so, you know, you're diagnosed with breast cancer. And was there some suggestion as part of that you might have to undergo some surgical procedures?
Yes, I was going to go through a double mastectomy.
Okay. Sorry to hear that. How are you doing health-wise now?
I'm doing great right
awesome.
Now.
Awesome. Super
you.
Cool. And so you were going to have to undergo, a surgical procedure involving your breast. And then did your supervisor say some things regarding that?
Yes, he did.
You can kind of generally talk a little bit about.
He generally asked me about size and about the type of implant that was going to be used and
right.
that he had experience in it.
And so, you know, you're going through this life-threatening disease. You know, you're going into the doctor. The doctor's saying, here's what we have to do. Obviously, not something pleasant for you. And your supervisor, in turn, kind of takes advantage of that situation to talk about your breast and his experience with them and what he likes and doesn't like.
Correct. It was super inappropriate, very disrespectful, very demeaning. Embarrassing. It was horrible. It was horrible to go to work and to deal with that.
Especially, I imagine, at the time you're dealing with your health issues, which you want to put first.
Yes.
And so, Do you complain to your employer?
I did.
And do they, at least as far as what they told you, they take care of the issue?
Yes. But things did not get better at work. They got worse, much worse.
And so much worse, what do you mean?
Generally, I just wasn't treated equally to the other employees. And it was clear to me that it was retaliating for reporting it.
So,
and I was afraid of that because lots of people that do, you know, file complaints. And I was terrified of filing the complaint to begin with. And I didn't want to file it, but I was encouraged to do the right thing. We're told we have to file a complaint when something like that happens. My employer says to, but in the end, it was pretty scary. I went ahead and did it, and it didn't end. I mean, it just the treatment was terrible.
I'm sorry. And so, you know, you, in good faith, pursuant to the procedures of your employer, make this complaint, and the only result is that your supervisor retaliates against you and treats you worse.
Correct.
That's not cool.
No, and it was horrible dealing with the breast cancer and that.
And so, did there come a time when you said, hey, you know, I need some help?
Yeah, I went through the proper channels. I went to HR and I tried to go through that. But there finally came a point where I realized that nothing was going to change. Nothing was getting better. And I felt like my words were falling on deaf ears, and they just didn't really think it was a big deal. And it is a big deal.
Sure. And so at some point, did you say, hey, I need a lawyer?
Yes. And that's when I was able to contact your firm.
Okay. And so you called us here or did an email or something to Gomez Trial Attorneys?
Yes. Actually, I was referred, but yes.
Oh, you were referred. Okay, very good. By another lawyer or something?
Yes, another lawyer, yeah.
Okay, so you went to another lawyer, and I'm saying this for purposes of our listeners that may be in your situation. You know, you can look online or look at ads or look at the back of buses. There's a lot of ways to find lawyers, but probably a good way to find a lawyer is to talk to a lawyer that you trust and say, here's my legal issue. Who would you recommend? And, you know, by and large, you know, that lawyer is going to recommend you to, you know, competent, skilled lawyers. And apparently this lawyer you talked to thought that we would be appropriate to help you.
Correct. And I'm so grateful that she did.
Oh, good. Well, we're grateful too. So you ended up with Mr. Storm Swan, Patrick.
Yes.
So Patrick, you know, you hear this case, you know, you got a driver that's going through cancer treatment. Supervisor, you know, makes statements about her breast. I got to say, like, just listening to it, it sounds like a tough case. Because what if the supervisor just says, I didn't say that, you know? What were your impressions kind of looking at the case when you first got to meet Ms. Dougherty?
It was that I work with another attorney here, B.B. Fell. We work as a team. And so the first time I met Ms. Dougherty, it was a enlightening and a really pleasant experience. She was endearing. I could tell that she was hurt. She felt that she didn't have anyone in her corner at her school district. And it really came to a point that, you know, when we have clients come through the door, you can form the impression pretty quickly of what they're going through, at least from your perspective. And from my perspective, it was that she was being courageous and coming forward, that she wanted to be treated equally. And she wanted to know if she could affect some change at her employment, not only necessarily for herself, but for others who might have been treated the same way, but may not have had the opportunity or the courage to step forward. So I originally didn't meet with Miss Doherty. It was BB. But when I did and I learned about the case, it quickly dawned on me how important it was, not only to advocate for you and get the best possible result we could, but to do a larger picture and really try to affect some change to make sure these type of things don't happen. And that if they do, people have the courage to step forward and tell their supervisors that, you know, it's inappropriate and it shouldn't happen.
Thanks, Patrick. And so, Ms. Doherty, you know, you got to come in and you met BB and you met Patrick, probably the rest of their team. You know, what were your thoughts and mindset, you know, once you got to meet your lawyers? What were you thinking?
I was so grateful. I finally felt like I had someone to back me, because I did feel like I was alone. I felt like it was, you know, David and Goliath. It was scary going up against a school district. And I was, like I said, discouraged. But once I had your firm behind me, I felt like I could stand stronger. It really helped me, because it was like I said earlier, it was really quite scary.
Yeah, that is scary. I mean, we all rely upon our jobs to provide for ourselves and our family. And the idea of sort of, you know, challenging things at your place of work is a scary thing, you know, and you had the courage to do it. I'm wondering, did Michaela give you any encouragement? Did she say, you know, Mom, you got to do this? You gotta fight these people, hire lawyers. Was she any part of that? And you're waving her over to the mic in sort of real time. You know, we can do that. Our tech guy's saying we could add a mic, but we don't need to do that. You talk. And then if you have anything to say, Michaela, you just roll over and just speak into that mic.
Well, Michaela was a huge part of it, because there was days that I just was ready to throw in the towel. I was crying. I'd come home from work crying, and she would tell me to be strong and to hold on to it and keep going. And I'll let her explain.
I think it was just so much more important than everyone else described it as. She was going through a lot, and see her going through that and to watch her go through those trials was really hard. So I think she was doing the right thing, and I wanted her to stick with it, because it's more important than just her. It's for all women, especially in her workplace.
Yeah. So that's pretty neat that your daughter's there, you know, saying, "Hey, Mom, stick with it. This is an important fight," you know. So it's cool that you brought her today. It was fun to get her on mic. Maybe we'll get her back on mic again. And so in this case, as I understand, a lot of employment cases, the employer will file a summary judgment, which basically, if they win that motion, you know, you lose the case. And so did that happen here, Patrick?
It did. And it was a complicated set of issues, because while Ms. Doherty was receiving cancer treatment and was on medical leave from her job, obviously the first thought in her head was not to file a lawsuit. She was also under the impression that her complaint that she filed with the district was handled appropriately and that something was going to change. And so when she learned that it did not, she came to our firm. One of the issues in the motion for summary judgment, which essentially is the defendant asking the court to throw out a lawsuit, was that Lisa waited too long to file the lawsuit. And
the statute of limitations.
Yes, the statute of limitations, which is important, but there are certain exceptions to it. And one of the exceptions was a continuing injury, as well as what's called estoppel, which means that if you were misled unfairly, then you can stop the defendant from claiming that you filed the lawsuit too late. Our investigation showed that Lisa was appropriately or improperly misled into believing that her complaint was handled, and because of that, didn't file her lawsuit at that time. But there was also additional issues. They said that You know, we didn't meet the elements of the claims that we presented for both discrimination, sexual harassment, and that the conduct was severe and pervasive. After the briefing was in, the court agreed with us and said this case is going to trial. There's sufficient evidence for a jury to hear this. And it was a very difficult motion. BB and I worked very hard on it. We took a number of depositions, and I know that Lisa had to sit through two volumes of her deposition. So it was a highly litigated and somewhat contentious case at times. But it was great to get over that, as you mentioned.
And so, Patrick, you mentioned, I think, statutes of limitation. And so for an employment case, is that a year, 1 year, with these exceptions?
Yeah, it depends. For certain government entities, it can be a year. It can also be when you file a government claim, or under the case that we brought, the Department of Fair Employment and Housing Act, the DFEH complaint. They're varying deadlines based on when it's presented. So if you do have a employment case, it's important to consult an attorney, because there are prerequisites, things you have to do before filing a lawsuit that if you do not do correctly, you may not be able to ever have a lawsuit. So they're important, and we had to do it in Lisa's case too.
And with a government defendant, even if it's not an employment case, you know, if there's a bad street or whatever, you know, there's a 6-month claim period. So there's that. There's a statute of limitations for an employment case. Here in California, our statute of limitations for personal injury cases is generally 2 years. But all that means is, you know, if something bad is happening to you, you need to talk to a lawyer as soon as possible to make sure you don't lose your right to sue forever. But you were able to do that. You got a hold of us. Patrick and BB won your motion. But something he mentioned I want to ask you about, and that is that you had to give a deposition. Talk to us about how that was, you know, how that process was for you.
Well, it was really quite scary, and it was long and grueling. But I did feel good that I had Patrick there with me to step in and you know, help me along the way when, you know, I felt like you feel like you're being attacked kind of by the other lawyer. And so it's hard, but obviously it's necessary.
Right. And so thank you. And Patrick, you know, so what is a deposition and how did she do during hers?
So a deposition is essentially what you see in court, but a little more broad. It's a question and answer between the attorneys and the witness. And it can be either the plaintiff, who is the person bringing the case, the defendant, the person who's or entity that's defending the case, or someone who's not named a party in the case, but has knowledge regarding some of the issues or what happened in the case. It's under oath. And it's formal. So everything's typed down on a transcript so people can see what was said. And then when you do go to trial, you can test that as to what has been testified to in court to see if things are consistent. Depositions tend to be long sometimes because the lawyers are trying to exhaust all of the information. And they can feel like you're being attacked, and if you're a plaintiff or a defendant, because they are testing what you're claiming in the case, asking you what evidence you have to support it, whether or not you made certain statements, who else heard it. And so it can be a difficult process at times. In reference to Lisa, employment cases, depositions tend to be a little longer because there's more issues. Lisa did very well at both in regards to being patient, understanding the process. When she did become emotional about the treatment she was going through or some of the questions she was being asked, we took breaks. That's important. And we made sure that everything was handled appropriately. Defense counsel in this case was a gentleman, although at times the questions he asked were tough. So we had a good professional relationship, but the reason we had a second deposition is because there were more documents that came up, and we along with speaking to Ms. Doherty, said, you know, we'll give one more couple more hours to exhaust these issues so that we know it's finally done. But Lisa was great. It was, I think BB filled in a little bit during the first volume, but otherwise I was there and I saw it all firsthand.
And so, you know, some of our listeners, you know, they're thinking, you know, I don't want to bring a case because the lawyer for the other side is going to ask me all these questions and be mean to me and, you know, be hard on me. So if you're there defending, you know, one of our clients, if things get out of hand, are you going to stop things and protect the client?
Of course. And that, and we have pre-deposition meetings to go over all that, what to expect. But the reason I'm there is to make sure that you, the person who's being questioned, in this case, Lisa, understands what's being asked, is not being misled, if is not being attacked. And if things get out of hand, we stop it, we go to court, and we resolve the issues civilly. There's no reason to have things get out of hand, but one thing that's important in all of our cases here is that you have a zealous advocate in your corner who's going to be professional, answer all your questions, and make sure that if you do go through a deposition, it's going to be handled appropriately, and you'll have the opportunity to say what you want to say on the record, as well as answer the questions posed to you, because it's your testimony, it's nobody else's.
Well, so thank you, Patrick. And so you do your deposition, they file the motion, we win the motion for you, and then the defendants want to go to a mediation. And a mediation is where the parties, both sides, you know, attempt to settle the case. The defendant will offer money, will ask for money, and sometimes the case settles and sometimes it doesn't. And in your case, the case settled.
Yes, it did.
And so how did you feel about that?
I was elated.
Oh, awesome. And so, you know, how does that process work for you? Do you get to decide whether to settle the case or not?
That with the advice of my attorney. And I was happy to do that. It was a long process and I was ready to be over it and move on with my life. And it was a good settlement that I felt like I made a difference that my employer or any employer for that matter shouldn't treat women like that. And I think that it will change policies.
And what about you? You know, you said going into this, and Patrick mentioned that, you know, a big reason for doing this was to make things better for other women. Do you feel like you're able to accomplish that?
Yes, I do. It, like I said, it was tough, but I feel like my employer will think twice about a complaint that's made and take it seriously. And I feel like if any woman is going through this, be strong and call your attorney if you need to. Call the Gomez firm and have someone in your corner. Have someone, you know, fight for you, because it's hard to go it alone.
Well, thanks. It's so funny because usually at the end of our little podcast, I'll ask you, what advice would you give? And you beat me to the punch. You gave some really awesome advice. Patrick, what were your sort of overall takeaways, you know, from this experience?
That, you know, my biggest takeaway was getting to know Lisa over the course of this case and getting to see how she was from the beginning to the end. And once the case was resolved, I could visibly see just the weight off her shoulders, and that this meant more than just herself. That she, I said at the beginning, and I'll say it again, it's really tough to put yourself out there and say that you've been wronged in some way and seek justice. You know, and Lisa did it with flying colors. She went against her supervisor, and it was incredible to see the transformation as well as the end. And I agree with Lisa. I hope this has a greater effect on people coming forward with complaints, because if this was handled appropriately from the beginning, you know, it may not have not always moved to this ultimate lawsuit. But people have to have voices and be treated equally in the workplace. That's what the law requires, and it's important that we make sure that those rights are upkept.
Well, thank you, Patrick. Last word for you, because you work at a school district, right? I think I heard. And so it's time to give grades. And so it's time for you to give a grade to Gomez Trial Attorneys, Patrick and BB. What grade?
A+.
A+. We'll take an A+. That is exactly what we're talking about.
You've changed my life and my family's life, and I'm so grateful. I really am.
Well, we're very grateful to you. Thank you for trusting us to handle your very sensitive case. I'm glad it came out well for you. So thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Michaela, for coming to visit. We appreciate you being here. Thank you, Patrick. And so this concludes this episode of Trial Files, where real personal injury survivors talk to their real personal injury lawyers. Stay tuned for future episodes where we'll talk to regular people, maybe like you, that have been through some hardship or injury in their lives and then ended up having to hire a lawyer. We'll talk about the experiences they had, how their experience was with their lawyer, and you'll kind of hear the ending of each of these different cases. And so I hope you've enjoyed Trial Files. I look forward to speaking to you next time around.